Good morning again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 33. Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 33. The theme of this message is, husbands, love your wives. That is the theme. Dave asked me this morning, are you ready? I said, I'm ready as much as I can. And he said, ready as a teacher, not as a husband. That is true. We're always trying to be learning to be a husband who can love our wives. Val asked me on the way here, are you ready? I said, yes, I am. I'm going to just tell how Christ loved the church and how I love you. I used to listen lots of messages by John MacArthur on fulfilled family and family and even on this portion. I remember a story he used to tell. He said a couple got married. You know, all little girls, the dream of the little girls to get married someday. They look forward to their prince to come and just to take them into their arms. Then it is rest. It is happily ever after. The dream, that is the dream all the little girls live with. To find the joy and fulfillment and contentment in the arms of the man she loves. So this couple got married. And they were on their way to honeymoon. It was the olden times. They were driven in a cart pulled by a horse. As they were going together, enjoying their company, looking forward to their honeymoon and the life together, all of a sudden, the horse bolted to the side. And the husband said, he was a little irritated, and he said, that's one. Then they went a little further. The horse bolted again to the side. And the husband was a little more irritated. And he said, that's two. Then they went a little further. The horse bolted again to the side. And he said, that's three. Then he got out of the cart, pulled a gun from the back of the cart, and shot the horse dead. And she said, wow, what's wrong with you? Wow, how can you do this? Are you crazy? Oh, I cannot believe this. I married you. And he said, that's one. Well, that's one way to treat your wife, but we are not going to speak about that. We are going to look into the scripture and see how we ought to treat our wives. That is the subject before us. So this passage speaks about, again, I said, husbands, love your wives. How can you make this marriage a heaven and security and rest and fulfillment and joy for your wife? That is the question before each one of us husbands. How can we make our marriage a heaven of rest, joy, contentment, fulfillment? The answer is, husbands, love your wives. We are studying the book of Ruth. Naomi, when she was going to return to Bethlehem, she told both of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, that you May the Lord grant you rest in the house of your husbands. Go back to Moab. Rest. That's the picture of marriage. Even later, Naomi told Ruth, should I find rest for you? Rest. That is the picture of marriage. Isn't that our lady's dream? Rest with my husband. Rest in the presence of my husband. Joy and fulfillment and contentment. Heaven on this side of the shore when I'm with my husband. Isn't that your dreams? How can we make our marriage a heaven of rest for our wives? Husbands, love your wives, the answer. So this portion we will see the pattern. The pattern. Then the purpose. Then the picture. We have the pattern, verse 25 to we can say 27, then we have the purpose to 30, 28 to 30, then we have the picture, verse 31 and 32, and final instruction, verse 33. The pattern is double-fold. Okay. How do we love our wives? Number one, as Christ loved the church. And there is another pattern. If it is hard, it is very difficult. You know, last week we heard about submission. Right? You think that is hard? Which is hard, submission or love? What is hard? Submitting your own husbands as church, submit to Christ, or is it loving your wives as Christ loved the church? Which is harder? Wives think submission is harder. You have to let all your right go in order to submit. You have to come under the rank. You have to empty lots of things. Wives submit. You know what husbands ought to do? Husbands, die. Die. Which is easier? Submit or die. So this is double fold, as I said. The pattern is double fold. As Christ loved the church, and if that is hard, then we have another option here. I know it is very hard for us to love our wives as Christ. Nobody can love our wives like Christ loved the church. But that is always our motivation. That's what we are striving to do. It's like one fellow went to the pastor and said, I cannot love my wife as Christ loved the church. That is impossible. Then the pastor said, well, then there's another option. Love her as your neighbor. It says, love your neighbor. Can you do that? Maybe. Or if you cannot do that, there's another option. Love her as your enemy, because there's the word of God says, love your enemies. So there's no excuse for not loving our wives. But here the pattern is loving our wives as Christ loved the church. And the other one is loving her as we love our own bodies. You know, we are great lovers, men, aren't we? We are great lovers. We love ourselves. We love our bodies. The greatest lover is Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. And we are not bad either. We can love ourselves. So the pattern, if you cannot love like Christ loved the church, then try this. Can you love her like you love your own bodies? So the pattern is twofold. Then the purpose is twofold. The purpose is to make your splendor, make your glorious, make your radiant. That's what Christ did by his dying love and washing with the water, the word of God. And So one of the purposes is to make you radiant, glorious. And the other purpose is to glorify God. That's where the picture comes. Glorify God. It is a testimony to the gospel. That's where the mystery comes. Marriage is a mystery. So we'll look at that. So the pattern is doublefold. Christ is the pattern as we love our own bodies. As also Christ loved the body, that is also there. Christ loves his own body. We are his own body. How he cares for us. And also we love our bodies. The purpose is twofold. To make her radiant for her benefit, for her spiritual growth, for her maturity, for make her feel like a queen. That is, make her to fulfill the purpose for which she has been redeemed by the Lord. And the other purpose is to glorify God, being a testimony to the gospel. So husbands, love your wives. Pattern number one. How do we love our wives? How do we love our wives? Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for her, for us. Sacrifice, it's a sacrificial love. So when we look at the pattern of Christ, we can see that it is a sacrificial love, and it is a sanctifying love, and it's a caring love. It's a sacrificial love, and it's a sanctifying love, and also it's a caring love. He sacrificed himself for us. The dictionary defines sacrifice as giving something of great value for the benefit of someone else. That is how the dictionary defines sacrifice. Forfeiting something of great value for the benefit, for the sake of others, for the benefit of others, for the welfare of others, to help someone. Christ gave himself for us. He died for us that we might live, we might be forgiven. We might be holy and righteous. We know that love is not it's a verb. It's not just a noun. It's action oriented. How do you define love? There's no biblical definition in love, but it's description. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, we can see how the love is described, it is portrayed, it is the love of Jesus Christ. If you read that and see, if you love your wife the same way that is described there, let me turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and read those verses and just let us put ourselves in that and see if we love our wives this way. This is the love of Christ. Love is patient, love is kind. Are we patient? Are we kind? It's not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. It is not easily irritated. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not keep the record of wrongs. Do we do that? Surely. We keep the records of wrong. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bear all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love endures all things. That is the kind of love we are told to love our wives with. Now it is time for self-examination for each one of us. Do we love with that kind of love? As I said, love is not defined in the scripture. We only know one of the attributes of God. It says God is love. That could be a definition, but it is an attribute of God. It is the nature of God. God but cannot help, only love. And God's love, when it dwells in others, in us, we are enabled to love by the Spirit of God. Love is not a noun. It is not a word we use to make everybody feel good. It is a verb. It is action-oriented. Love is, my definition of love is sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's why you usually say there's no such a thing as love marriage. In India, there are two kinds of marriage. One is arranged marriage. The other is love marriage. Arranged marriage, parents just arrange. They make all the decision and you marry who they pick. Nowadays, you have a choice. You say you have the final choice, but they did all the initial work. But love marriage, you know somebody. But I say there is no love marriage because that is an attractiveness. It is not the real love. The love is developed by living together many years, learning each other, knowing each other's fault, and able to make adjustment and sacrifice our ego and our pride. That is what love is. We read in Genesis chapter 25, Isaac married Rebecca, took her to her tent, and he loved her. The love came after marriage. I am still learning to love my wife. Oh, we had a love marriage. We knew each other. We got married. But, oh boy, the marriage opened the eyes. It was like the alarm clock woke us up from our dream. Marriage is like the alarm clock. Love is like a dream. It wakes you up and tells, smell the coffee, come to reality. I'm just still learning to love, making sacrifice. That is love. It gives. When God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Love gives. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. He gives. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for our friends. That is the measure of the greatest love. You know what is the greatest love in the world? It is the Father's love. It is the Father's love. And the greatest gift of that love is Jesus Christ. And the greatest demonstration of that love is on the cross when he died for our sins. In Philippians chapter 2, we read it's an emptying love. Sacrificial love is an emptying love. He emptied his glory. You know, the one who was with equal to God did not consider equality with God, but took the form of a servant. He was God. He became a servant, fashioned as a man, humbled himself, and was obedient until his cruel death on the cross of Calvary. Why did he die that way? Why did he empty his glory? Why did he humble himself? For me, for his bride, for you as his bride. Husbands, we are told to humble ourselves in order to love our wives. He sacrificed his riches. It's a gracious love. We read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that even though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, so that through his poverty we might become rich. He took incarnation. That was poverty. He took all our sins and sorrows. That was spiritual poverty. And he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took all that for us. And sometimes we are not willing to give an inch to our wives. We always wanted to have the last word. It is an unconditional love. It's an agape love. You know what is agape love? Is a choice. That is what. It is not feeling. God did not feel like loving us.
He made a definite choice. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ. It was a choice. It was not based on who we were or we were not. We don't love our wives because of who she is or who she is not. We love them because it has to come from our heart. It is an agape love. Romans 5, verse 7 and 8, we read about that agape love. Romans 5, 7 and 8. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did Christ die for us? When we were lovely, lovable, attractive. We were making Christ pleasing in his eyes. We were not irritating him. When did he love us? While we were not very lovely, very attractive. We were sinners. We were enemies. We were no good. We were irritating him constantly. So God's love in Christ was not object-oriented love. Because of his nature, he loved us. And we love because, okay, you please me, I love you. You make yourself attractive, I love you. You fulfill my needs, I love you. That is human love. But if we want to love our wives like Christ loved the church, we have to love them when they irritate us. That is not a feeling. We may not feel like loving, but we have to say, I choose to love this woman because she is a gift from the Lord. And I made a promise before God and people. I made a covenant with God and people. I'm going to love this woman as long as you give her to me, Lord. Help me, God. And it is a forgiving love. It is a forgiving love. When our Lord Jesus was on the cross, beaten, crucified, and all night through, he was on trial. He was beaten on his head, on his face. His hair was pulled out. He was spit upon. He was beaten with rod, with whip. And the crown of thorn was on his head. He was bleeding. He was on the cross like a piece of flesh. He didn't even feel like a man, but like a worm. Why did he suffer all that for? For us. And what was the first thing he said from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. A forgiving love. How many times we refuse to love, forgive our wives? We are told to forgive others as Christ, God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. When we forgive, we seek the best for that person. When we forgive, we don't keep a record of things. When we forgive, it is like that event or that situation has never happened. We are not perfect. Our wives are not perfect. But I'm talking about husbands loving our wives. And it is an understanding love. And before, you know, Colossians 3:19, Max read, it says, husbands, love your wife and do not be bitter towards them. Do not be harsh with them. That is the automatic attitude and reaction when they irritate us. But we are told, do not be harsh with them. it's an understanding love. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read, you husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You husbands in the same way. Likewise. That was Max's translation. Likewise, in the same way. I believe the reference is to chapter 21. The same way, likewise. Let's look back in the same way. Let's look chapter 2, verse 21, which says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow his steps." We are called to suffer in the steps of Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Well, no one ever suffered more unjustly than Jesus Christ, unfairly. He was accused. He was abused. He was spoken all manner of things. Yet, he did not open his mouth. He didn't say anything back. He had the power. He could have called legions of angels, but he was meek and lowly. Why? Because he loved his bride. He loved us. That is what we are called, that path. Now, the same way, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. In order to understand, you need to study. We need to study in order to understand anything. We study the scripture to understand. We study math to understand. We study social history to understand. We study physics to understand. We in order to understand our wives, we need to study them. They should be the most diligent. We should be studying them most diligently to understand them. I've been reading somewhere, we should be studying like a scientist studies his animals, like a student studies for an exam, like a preacher studies to give a message. Study diligently our wives to understand them. I'm still studying Val. Still don't understand. We need to understand their temperament, their personality, what ticks them off, what ticks them on, what they make them sad, what make them irritated, what make them happy, what give them joy, the physical disabilities in their bodies, how many hours of sleep they need, are they early risers or late sleepers, all those things we need to understand and make adjustment. That's how we love our wives. All of our wives love to be listened. One way we love is listen to our wives. Not just, listen, smile, look into their eyes, then join the conversation, respond to their conversation. Listen to them. They just want to talk. They want to share their inmost feelings and dreams and fear. Listen. Live with your wives in an understanding way with someone weaker. Well, they are not like men. They are weaker in that sense. So we have to understand. That's why we hold the door for them. That's why we open the car for them. Being courteous. Chivalry. And show her honor. Honor is something we value. Give them honor. They are precious. They are precious. When I gave my daughter in marriage, I had to give a little speech. I told her it was handing like my precious, precious crystal. To someone who is going to, you know, we don't know how
because your daughters are precious. The point I'm making is your wife is somebody's precious daughter. Your wife is somebody's precious daughter. It is like precious, like a crystal. It's a valuable. And not only that, your wife, are we going to come to, your wife is part of the body of Christ. She's part of you, but she's also part of Christ. When Saul was persecuting church, what did Jesus say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I didn't ever persecuted you. But if you touch one of the apple of his eyes, you are touching Christ. If you treat your wives, who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who is part of the body of Christ, we are treating Christ that way. We have to live with our wives in an understanding way. And now we read that verse 26, it is a sanctifying love, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. What was the goal of Christ's love for his church? Her sanctification. God chose us before the foundation of the world so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. God saved us so that we may conform to the image of Christ. The Lord is sanctifying us through his word and the work of the Holy Spirit so that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. So the goal of Christ's love is the sanctification of the church. Having cleansed her, having saved her by washing with the water of the word. So there is salvation as well as sanctification is pictured by washing. So some are, the Lord said to Peter, if you have a bath, you don't need another bath. You only need your foot washed to cleanse you from daily uncleanness. So salvation and sanctification, daily washing, to make the church glorious, splendid, without spot, wrinkle, or to make you radiant, to make you radiant. Love wants only the best for the one it loves. It works toward her holiness, always full of beauty to shine, lead her to ever-increasing virtue. Christ saved us and sanctifying us to make us glorious without spot or blame or wrinkle. When he present to himself, when he comes, his bride will be beautiful, radiant. He's in the process of making her radiant, splendid, glorious. That is our job, my dear husbands, to make our wives radiant on this side of the heaven. Now take a look at your spouse. They are all looking next to each other, next to you. Look at her, see. You see her radiance. You see the radiance shining in her. Look in her eyes and see the eyes are sparkling. Even though body may be tired, the body may be aged, there may be the wrinkles of age and the gray hair may be there. The tiredness is there, but look in the eyes and see if that radiance, that sparkle in the eyes are there or not. We have a responsibility. See, man has the capability and the capacity to make our wives miserable. Miserable. They can lose all their radiance. They can be depressed and discouraged. Marriage could become a nightmare for them. We have that capacity. At the same time, we can nurture them. Nurture them. We can encourage them. We can care for them. And bring that radiance out. Make her beautiful inside, and that will shine through outside. Sometimes we can drive our wives to an attitude of bitterness, can lose all the joy of the Lord, can have spots and wrinkles. They can react in a way they are not designed to react as a child of God. Because of our actions, they can react that way. But of course, wives are told to reflect Christ, are told to submit. But we have that capacity. So that's why it says, verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their wives as their own bodies. You know, like we said, we are great lovers. We know how to love our bodies. We take care of them. We wash them. We provide for them. We dress them. We warm them. See, wives are like tender and sensitive flowers, may wilt under authoritarian dominance, but blossom with tender, loving care. So in a maturing marriage, the husband exercises compassionate care, and his wife responds in willing submission to his loving leadership. You know, harmony equals loving leadership plus willing submission. How did Christ brought the church on her knees? By his love. We love him because he first loved us. He gave himself for us. When husbands, if we can love our wives like Christ loved the church, we don't need to speak about submission. But it is mutually exclusive. Wives are not told to love their submit to their husbands if they love you. Same way, we are not told to love our wives if they submit to us. Regardless they submit or not, we are told to love them. We are told to love them. Each of our wives is like a tender and sensitive flower. She will fade and wilt under criticism, harshness, bitterness, like under scorching sun. But it will bloom to be radiant and beautiful under encouragement, care, and love. And she will spread the aroma of Christ in our home. Your smile will be her delight and joy. And she will have no interest in anybody else or anything else. Is your smile the delight and joy of your wife's heart? And we are told to love them as Christ loved his body, how he cares for. It's a caring love. It's a caring love. He cares for us. And it is more clearly illustrated by how we love our own bodies. We all love our own bodies. How do we love our bodies? We nourish us and cherish us. Nourishing is like feeding. Cherishing is like a keeping warm, nourishing, feeding, providing, bringing them up. That is the word used for bringing up the children. That is nurturing our wives. We nurture our children. When they are born, we adore them, we love them, we shower them with kisses, we make sure they are fed, and we make sure they are warm. We make sure they are peaceful.
because they are they are dependent, so you know we have to do that. But when they start walking, what do we say? Oh, great job. Walk, take another step. When they start talking, we encourage them, we praise them. When they start riding their bike, we praise them, we encourage them. And every step of the way, we nurture our children. We lead them spiritually. When was the last time you wives felt like your husband nurtured you, praised you, encouraged you? Husbands, when was the last time we did that? Nurture them. And cherish them. Value them. That word is warm up with the body heat. It's like a mother hen bringing all her chicks under the wings and keeping her close to the body. We can say curling. Curling. In the book of Ruth, we are studying the book of Ruth, and Boaz said, you found refuge under the wings of God Almighty. She was finding her refuge. Then later on, when she went to propose, she said, spread your skirt over me. That word is, spread your wings over me. Husband, I want you to be my husband to cherish me. Take me under your wings. The wings of God is provided by the wings of Boaz. The care and the love of God, Christ, is provided by each one of us. Your husbands are the visible Christ. Husbands, we are the visible Christ in our wives' lives. If we cannot love them, we cannot love anybody. We may think it's easier to love somebody else because they don't live with us. You know why God brought one person in your life out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth? So you can show the love of Christ to that person. She's part of you. The two shall become one. There is no greater person in your life than your wife. There is no. She's your greatest friend. She's part of you. If we cannot love them, we cannot love nobody. We are a missionary to them. Those who go abroad in the mission field, they sacrifice so many things. They learn a language. They learn the culture. You read the missionary stories. Adinaram Judson went to Burma, translated the Bible, and they burned all those manuscripts. He was in the prison. His wife was in a mud hut, giving birth to their first child. The baby rolled into the ashes because of the wood stove was nearby. A man was well off in Boston. He didn't have to go to Burma. He did to show the love of Christ to those perishing people. Our wives, our mission field, we are the missionaries to them. We have to sacrifice. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about our wives. Now, finally, the picture. I just want to show the picture. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. That verse 31 is a quote from Genesis 2:24. As far as I'm concerned, that is the greatest verse about marriage. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two becoming one. Paul looks back to that verse and says, this is a great mystery. But I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. What is the mystery of marriage? Marriage can be mysterious. lots of suspense in marriage, but this mystery is a sacred secret which was in the heart of God when God put Adam to sleep, opened his side, took a rib, and made a woman. There was something, a secret which was never revealed fully, was in the heart of God. What was that secret? That someday the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to die on the cross of Calvary, and his side will be opened, and a rib will be taken from that, a beautiful, the side will be opened, and the blood will be shed. From that evolve a beautiful bride of the church. That is the mystery. Now, Paul is saying, my marriage and Val's marriage, each one of your marriage is a reflection of that relationship with Christ and the church. That is the greatest word. That is the greatest purpose of marriage. I used to think the greatest purpose of marriage was companionship. If you look at chronologically, God made Eve as a helpmeet to defeat loneliness because he was lonely. I used to think that that was the greatest purpose, to defeat loneliness. A companion to make both complete, complement each other. Then it says, be fruitful and multiply. I used to think that it was procreation. Both are important, but New Testament reveals the greatest purpose. You know what is the greatest purpose? Your marriage is a testimony to the gospel. Your marriage reflects Christ and the church. It is to glorify God. Surely we marry for companionship, raise a family to meet sexual needs, for economic stability, and for many good other reasons. But only Christianity gives spiritual emphasis, which brings eternal significance to this temporal union, which has an eternal purpose. Christ the bridegroom and church the bride is on display in each one of our marriage. When we fail to glorify God through our marriage. That is why, wives, you should submit. And husband, we should love our wives. Because it is a picture. It's an image. It's a parable. Marriage is a parable. It's a picture. It's a metaphor of Christ and the church. That is the greatest purpose of our marriage, to be a testimony to Christ. Husbands, love your wives. The pattern as Christ loved the church, as we love our own bodies. The purpose for her welfare, to make her radiant, to benefit her, and also to glorify God. That is the picture. What a privilege and responsibility we have. May God bless us to love our wives in the coming days as Christ loved the church. God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, we pray for your blessing upon us now as we dismiss ourselves for a little, then we're going to witness the baptism. We pray for your blessing upon the baptism. We thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Help us, husbands, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.